Good day. I'm Lori McGinley with Kaiser Health News. Today, we're talking about Health on the Hill with Mary Agnes Carey and Eric Pianin of Kaiser Health News. Thank you for joining us. Well, as we all know, President Obama and his family are enjoying a vacation on Martha's Vineyard. Does that mean that the rest of us get a break in the debate about health care reform?
No, we don't. We're busy as ever. Reporters, of course, will continue to write about this. Proponents and opponents of reform will continue to pick away at pieces of the plan they like or they don't like. I think this issue has a life of its own, and it will continue to resonate throughout the August break and well into September when lawmakers return after the Labor Day recess.
Can you give us an update, Mary Agnes, of where the bipartisan negotiations are that involve the six members of the Senate Finance Committee, the three Democrats and the three Republicans that are trying to hammer out a bipartisan agreement?
Right. They had a teleconference last week. It lasted about 90 minutes. They're trying to focus in on making health care more affordable and making the bill more affordable as well. The thought is they're trying to scale back provisions of the bill, whether it's the subsidies that are there, whether it's other elements of the package, perhaps the Medicaid expansion, or the benefits that would be required in an insurance plan. So they're trying to look at it to make it, I think, a smaller bill that could attract more support from the Republican Party and perhaps maybe even more Democrats who may not necessarily be on board right now.
Eric, what do you think the odds are of politically some kind of a compromise coming out of that panel?
I think it's getting harder and harder for them to reach a bipartisan deal that would fly in both the House and the Senate. And I think we're already seeing signs from the Senate Democratic leadership in particular that they're getting very impatient with these talks, that they've been dragging on now for months and months while other committees have completed their work. There's less and less optimism that Senator Max Baucus, who's the chairman of the Finance Committee, and Senator Chuck Grassley, who's the ranking Republican, can finally reach agreement on something that would be saleable in both chambers. Over the weekend, Senator Chuck Schumer of New York, who's a leader in the Senate made it very clear on Meet the Press that time is running out and the Democrats are thinking very hard about a go-it-alone strategy in which they would put together a bill that would be that would have great appeal to a widespread number of Democrats. The centerpiece of it might include a public insurance option program, something that the Republicans say they would never support, something that a lot of conservative Democrats say they don't support. So you can see that people are getting very impatient, and Baucus has set a September 15th deadline for completing the work. So we'll just have to see whether that that deadline holds.
If they move forward with a go-it-alone strategy, as they've been talking about, what are some of the practical implications of trying to pass a bill through budget reconciliation rules?
Well, that's probably the route they would have to go. The big concern is overcoming a Republican filibuster, and that requires getting at least 60 votes. And right now, I don't think there are 60 votes for any proposal kicking around in the House or the Senate. But there is a feeling that if need be, they can use these special budget rules to pass legislation with a simple majority of votes, 51. They can get to 51. But budget reconciliation is kind of an arcane budget procedure that was devised back in the 70s and 80s really to pass budgets and deficit reduction plans and tax proposals that were very controversial. It wasn't really designed to pass major social policy reforms, although it's been used from time to time for that purpose.
Mary Agnes, where do things stand now with the public plan? President Obama is in a very difficult place where the left is angry at him for waffling about the public plan, but moderate Democrats and Republicans don't seem a bit interested in the public plan.
Right. I think Eric just made an excellent point with this idea that some Democrats feel so strongly about the public plan that they wanted it a bill and they may use these Senate procedures to pass it to get it in a bill. In the House, Nancy Pelosi, as the Speaker of the House, has said She has to have it in a bill, but Steny Hoyer, who's her deputy, has been a little more flexible about it, that it is important, but he also wants to pass the bill. So I think this remains a critical area of the bill that people are going to be talking about and looking at. As we've talked before, in the Senate Finance Committee, they're talking about this idea of a co-op that could be a middle ground on the public plan option. A lot of progressives do not like that and want a different type of public plan. So I think as we watch the debate continue, this will continue to get a lot of focus and a lot of scrutiny. In the Finance Committee, they're trying to see if they can get a middle ground on it, but it's unclear right now if they can.
The polls are showing, as we all have noticed, rising anxiety about the health care process and hammering out this legislation. What do you think is causing that? Is it concerns about the bill itself? Is it some of the rumors, some of which are wildly inaccurate, they're going around about the bill? Is it fear of big government? Is it fear of problems in the economy or of growing deficits? What's your take on that, Mary Agnes?
I think it's all of those things and even more. I think a bill this big, this sweeping, this comprehensive is getting a lot of attention, especially now the American public is beginning to look at it. We saw this during some of these meetings over the August break. They'll be ongoing as the August recess continues. I think people are trying to look at the bill, find out what's in it for me, and they have honest inquiries. And of course, opponents of the bill will seize on elements of the bill that they think will work in their favor to derail it. Conversely, people who want legislation to pass, who think that this is their time, will work as hard as they can to show people what's in it for you, why this bill is good for you. So I think all of those factors and even more will contribute to the current state we're in.
It's interesting that the pro-reform groups are spending much more money on advertising than the anti-reform, and yet they don't seem to be able to making a persuasive case. What do you think? Why do you think that is, Eric?
I think the proponents and the White House are struggling to find the right message, the right voice. I think early on, President Obama and his advisors tried to portray this CASS as a way to provide universal health care coverage for all Americans, and B, to, as they say, try to bend the cost curve, try to save a lot of money over the next 10 to 15 to 20 years and try to stop what is viewed by just about everyone as runaway spending on health care. I think that the Democrats gave the opposition many openings to go after health care reform. Part of it was just the whole legislative process of many committees passing different versions of the same bill, giving opponents an opportunity to cherry pick and focus on a few things to scare people or to distort what the White House is trying to do. And we certainly saw that with all this talk about death panels and other alleged shortcomings of the effort. I think the White House in the next couple of weeks is going to have to come up with a much better focused campaign to explain to people why it's in their interest to have health care reform pass this year.
What would you expect to happen after Labor Day, Mary Agnes? What are we getting ready to do?
Well, the Senate Finance Committee, of course, is going to try to put out a package. They've got the September the 15th deadline. I'm not quite sure how hard and fast that is, but we'll have to watch and see what they're doing. In the House, you do have committees, as Eric noted earlier, that have already passed their bills, so they've got to merge those three into one and bring it to the floor for a vote. I think a key question to watch is how soon is that vote scheduled in the House? Will Speaker Pelosi want to see what the Finance Committee does before she asks her members to go make that floor vote? That vote could come at the end of September, or it could come in October, and if Finance did pass a package, then of course you would look for a floor action in the Senate, and they would have to merge their package with what's already been passed by the Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee, and then you'd have your House-Senate conference. So it should be a pretty busy fall.
One of the things that people are talking about is a scaled-back bill in an effort to reduce the size and the cost of the bill. What would be the pros and cons of scaling back the bill from its current estimated size of $1 trillion, do you think?
The pro is you could get far away from that $1 trillion mark. That gives some people heartburn, the idea that Congress would pass a bill that big. It could, in theory, attract some support, maybe of some Republicans who are worried about too big of a package at this point. I think one of the negatives is that one another thought of passing a smaller package is you can come back and do more later. Mm-hmm. But there are people that feel like this is the year this is the momentum, this is the time. Democrats control both chambers of Congress, and they control the presidency, the White House. So use that momentum, use that collateral, if you will, to get the biggest bill possible. So I think those are some of the fights that are ongoing with those two ideas that you talked about.
And Eric, what do you think, do the Republicans, will they score a big victory, or will they pay a price if they defeat health care reform?
They think they're going to score a big victory, and I think they hearken back to the failure of the Clinton administration to pass major national health care reform back in the 90s, and as a result, the administration was embarrassed, the Democrats were in disarray, and the Republicans made great inroads in the following off-year election. I think they see a possibility of repeating that.
Well, that's Health on the Hill from Kaiser Health News. Thank you for joining us. I'm Laurie McGinley.